You're listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham in for Cynthia Canty. We keep hearing about the technological advances that are making the dream of self-driving cars a reality. But along with developing the technology, there must be guaranteed safety. And that comes through setting standards for connected and automated vehicles. This month, the American Center for Mobility at Willow Run entered into formal agreements with the Institute of Transportation Engineers and the SAE, the Society of Automotive Engineers International, to start creating those voluntary standards. We now turn to Andrew Smart. He's the Chief Technical Officer of the American Center for Mobility, and he spoke with Stateside's Cynthia Canty.
When we talk about standards, exactly what are we talking about?
It's the foundation for the technology. If you look at anything that we have around us today, standards are all around us, whether it be whatever you want to power your phone with. There are some standards for that, even the wall socket. It's three-prong or two-prong, it's standards. And if you have that, everyone can manufacture goods. It's really just the essence of what we do, but people seem to take it very much for granted. What's happened in the last few years as regards automated vehicles is the generation of the intellectual property and the technology has been going absolute gangbusters. But people obviously are developing it for themselves and their own technology for their own vehicles. And because of that, they really haven't had, one, the time, or in another sense, maybe almost the inclination to develop the voluntary standards, because that may give other people a leg up.
Mm-hmm. So you have to kind of overcome that inherent desire to hang on to my intellectual property.
There's a balance in all these things, and this will plateau in the next 12 to 18 months, where people will find themselves, they've made certain announcements, this is the type of technology we're moving to, and so therefore people will become a little more open, because engineers, the challenge is if you get 250 of them in a room, one, to get them all to agree at the same time is a challenge in itself, but for all of them to almost give away the deepest secrets of what's going on won't be happening. So you've got to have a balance of where the technology is, and I think we're getting to that point.
And why is this the time, and maybe even past time, to start developing and having voluntary standards?
Well, we're really way behind. Normally, with any development work, standards soon follow, and then where appropriate, regulations follow that. But in this sense, standards process really hasn't kicked off in earnest.
So the big technological push has been going on.
Oh, absolutely. And that's way, way out in front. As we know, you can't pick up even any newspaper or automotive journal without this kind of technology. And so now, vehicle safety. The last official figures, 35,092 lives were lost in 2015. 2016 went up 8% or so. We're probably up 8% or so again this year. That's just wrong. And so whatever can be done to reduce this is how we can make the push for the standard side as well. That's a key part of it too. So it almost come together.
So apart from the push for autonomous vehicles being, making life more convenient and I can do other things besides worrying about that line of cars ahead of me, you're saying we're absolutely talking about saving lives in this push.
Oh, absolutely. Over 100 a day. Yeah. It's almost become white noise now, which is disturbing to me. If you had that in terms of an aircraft a day went down with 100 people on board, that would be absolutely unacceptable. But here we are, and NHTSA are pushing as much as they can for certain regulation, working with industry. So there's a lot to be done.
So our transportation system that we have had since the beginning of the 20th century is starting to get threadbare. Looking ahead to the idea of mobility and autonomous vehicles, it's time for standards. So why are these three groups, the American Center for Mobility and the Institute of Transportation Engineers and SAE International, why are these the right ones to be creating these standards?
Well, we come at it from different directions. ITE is really looking at the transportation infrastructure. So when the vehicles are communicating with the infrastructure, that's required. Then when you look at the fundamental vehicles themselves, that's where SAE is required. And where ACM comes into this is we play very much a role as one to convene, but also to bring them together within the proving ground and safe proving environment to almost accelerate the deployment.
And it's neutral, so it isn't one car maker or one.
No.
So this is the idea that here you are. Here's the science. Here's the engineering. Okay, let's get everybody on the same page. So what's the process? You're basically creating something out of thin air, aren't you?
Thank you very much.
You really are. When you think about this is all
I'll
so
patent
new.
That. The processes themselves, ITE and SAE have been doing this for many years in their own bespoke areas, but bringing them together and almost in the standards arena It's almost like the Wild West at the moment. Mm-hmm. Because if you imagine, at the moment, your car can be communicating to your audio system. So you're playing through there. You're talking through it and you can hear it. It's hands-free technology. So your phone is interacting. But then your car can then be communicating, in some new models, communicating with the infrastructure as well. But what you have is almost a fundamental disconnect. 30 years, roughly, to put together total infrastructure. About 30 months to develop a vehicle and about 30 weeks to develop a smartphone.
Boy, that's a lot to have to try to put together into one unit, kind of in a sense, all these movable parts.
So if you then say, well, how many advancements or how many iPhones or the like were we produced during the development period for a car, that would be many. And yet when the engineers are developing and designing the vehicle, when it goes into job one, it's got to interact with the phone of the day. So going back to your question of standards, interoperability, it all must work together seamlessly, because that's a major frustration for the end users.
Now, how long, you've begun the process of developing these voluntary standards, how long do you think it'll take before that process is complete? He smiles ruefully.
It's a never-ending story. It's where to start. You look at all the technologies at the moment. Where we're starting on this is then really looking at outcomes, because we want to look at it almost being technically agnostic. And if you do it that way, then no one needs to share their own intellectual property, but it's what happens as the overall outcome. You can go to YouTube and read many press articles of incidents with automated vehicles. There are certain incidents that are well documented. There's some that aren't. Maybe during the development process that people find things out. So we want to get into a situation where people start to share these things. And once they do that in an open forum, then we can start talking, well, if that's the outcome, how can we develop standards to test to that? And if we can test to it, therefore we can validate it, so therefore the vehicles are safe to go out onto the road.
And because there's zero room for error here. I mean, you're very aware of people's misgivings about autonomous vehicles. Start with, I don't want to be the one where they find out the system failed and I wind up going into the side of an abutment.
No, Control-Alt-Delete is not a function that you'll have in an automated vehicle, or the blue screen that you see on some things, or, you know, press it, you know, turn it off and turn it back on again and wait 10 to 15 seconds. That's not the option here. And because of that, it's foolproofing. It's then having all sorts of systems in place. And so that's where it's technically, it's very advanced. And when you have levels of artificial intelligence, that's another challenge you have. When you're trying to validate a product, you can validate a product in front of you, but if there's artificial intelligence, it learns.
And that's a process.
Exactly. And then rinse and repeat.
And then let's factor in the human factor. In fact, as you and I talk, the new report is out from the NTSB on that crash of the man who died driving the Tesla when it was on autopilot to hit a semi. And the NTSB has just released its report, and it found the driver ignored repeated warnings to put his hands on the wheel. And apparently, contrary to the reports we heard, he was not watching. The family lawyer insists he was not watching a video. But the NTSB report finds he ignored the warnings, put your hands on the wheel. So we've got that human factor. How do you can set all the standards in the world, and then you put a human behind the wheel.
That is, the human is, well, human in the loop.
Human in the loop.
And if you have the human in the loop, it's all about the education. And clearly, I can't go into the details of that, but it's all about education. And people, I'm finding at the moment, have a lot of faith in the technology. I'll give you one example. I was speaking to a young lady. I was asking her vehicle, her driving style, etc., very interested. And she said, oh, yes, when the light in my door mirror goes out, I know it's safe to overtake. Hmm. And I stopped and I said, sorry, could you just repeat that? So a few cents of a bulb in that mirror goes off, and that's your absolute confidence without any other means to then step out into traffic. Oh, absolutely. Chills. You know, the hair's got up in the back of your neck and going, yeah. I said, madam, I would strongly advise you. You've been taught to look over your shoulder, use your mirror. That is only an aid.
So there's a lot of retraining that will have to happen as this technology is being developed, as the standards are being developed. So let's just freelance here. How long do you think it's going to take before we're not surprised by autonomous vehicles on the road, before they're commonplace?
I think people already have a vision of them. Which again is concerning because they already have a vision in their mind of what they're going to be. If you look at the deployment and the announcements, you know, 2021, around that time, we'll have some deployments in some urban areas, almost on a fleet basis. Some people might even say you might be a little underwhelmed by it because absolutely safety critical. This is the first rollout of such vehicles in a fleet manner so they can be managed, ensure the deployment is working well. So that's the first phase. Then when you say, when will mainstream come on board, probably about 5 or 6 years after that, then we have what, 250, 260 million vehicles in the US. We sell 15 to 16 million a year. So I'll let your listeners do the mental arithmetic on that one to say how many years it will take just to turn over. But that's when everything is going to be automated. But people still like their 57 Corvettes and things like
sure
that.
Thing.
And then there still has to be the interoperability of cars talking to one another, cars that have no communication and some that have all. So when you look at when will it be fully mainstream, to me, towards the end of the 2020s, people will be far more comfortable with it. But then it's still a long, drawn-out process to get there. People's choice and people's education, again, to the technology and the faith.
You feel like a pioneer?
In some ways, yes. It really is, goes back to the safety aspect. It's a personal thing to me in terms of the saving of lives, the safety element to it and mobility. And when I hear the other stories, I just cringe and say, okay, we've got to do this sooner. And that's where it came to the standard side.
Andrew Smart is with the American Center for Mobility, where he's the chief technical officer. And I'm expecting to hear news pretty soon. Should we, by the end of the year or so, that out at the ACM things are moving along? We're ready to put some vehicles on test tracks?
Yes, we are. The absolute focus at the moment, we call it the bringing the spirit of 42, everything that happened to Willow Run and what was done there in 18 months. And we're really trying to take that same spirit because everything that we're doing is accelerated. Working with the local township, Ypsilanti Township. So I've got to go through the same motions as everyone else, but how can we streamline it? How can we expedite the situation? Bringing the people on board with construction. It's a different site. You see things going up and you learn so much more from a site that's been around for 75 years. Oh, it's a learning experience in more ways than one I can tell you.
Andrew, thanks so much for being with us on Stateside.
Pleasure.